Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody's got the fever. This is something we all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago. Never know how much I love you. You never know how much I care. When you put your arms around me, I get a feeling that's too hard to bear. You give me fever.
Good evening and welcome to Lenny Godfrey's Straight, No Chaser. Well, here we are on Blog Talk Radio again. We are in our 112th, I think, episode. I'm not quite sure yet. Sometimes I look at the numbers and then sometimes I don't. It's been such a wonderful journey doing all of these conversations with people and all the different kinds of artists that come on and their accomplishments. So I'm so very excited about what we're going to, the conversations we're going to have tonight. But before we do that, you know it is my custom to do a little house cleaning. And what it is that I really want to welcome those and thank you, those of you who are coming on the board now, who have not been on this particular program before, to let you know that you are listening to blogtalkradio.com/ S as in Sam, F as in Fred, T as in Tom, H as in Harry, and the number 2. It's fascinating that I do have those of you who dial in, but there's so many more of you who really just go on your computers and listen to this through Blog Talk Radio. So I have to acknowledge those of you who do that also. Thank you and welcome. If you want to call in, those of you who are listening and have a question on your computers, you can call in at 516-453-6063. But you must press the number 1 if you have a question that you would like to ask our guest tonight. And with that, that's about as much of the housekeeping that I really do each night, because I really want to get to this subject. This is a subject with two gentlemen who have worked relentlessly and tirelessly to promote, I believe, someone who is so deserving of recognition, far more recognition, I believe, than he's gotten in this industry. We're talking about the wonderful director, producer, actor, coach, instructor, teacher, and I can go on, the wonderful Lloyd Richards. And tonight, to speak about him, are two men who have really worked hard to get a street in his name in the Broadway community and are really working hard in other areas for recognition. And it's my pleasure, being a student of Lloyd's when he was teaching in New York City at Hunter College before he went to Yale, to say welcome to Julius Hollingsworth and Jack Shalom. So gentlemen, please, Jack, say hello to the audience.
Hi there. Glad to be speaking with you.
Thank you. And Julius?
Hello, thank you for having us on.
All right, so let me tell you a little bit about these gentlemen now that you've heard their voices. I will start with Julius, because Julius I've known since my days in college. I believe almost toward the first day of being in class, I almost met him the same time that I met Lloyd Richards. But he is a journeyman, and he has been in this industry for over half a century, 54 years. Started at La Mama with Hal DeWitt, and I don't know if you all are familiar with Hal DeWitt. What a wonderful, wonderful artist he is. When he was 13 years old, He is a Bessie, Emmy, and Torchbearer Award. He's received those. He's had 2 Ford scholarships, Diana Sands scholarship, and he's had his TV credits are To Be a Man, which I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he's earned an Emmy for. The Me Nobody Knows Showtime program was one thing that he did. And The Sign in Sidney Brunstein's Window, he was in the cast, and that was directed by Lloyd Richards. And we'll talk a lot about that later. So that is Julius, who you heard from a little earlier. Now, Jack Chalone, who I am meeting tonight, I want you all for the first time. I've heard so much about him from Julius. He's been so very helpful in pinpointing this whole effort and crystallizing it. Jack Chalone is a producer. He is co-host for WBAI-FM's Art Express. It's a weekly radio arts magazine. And he's been an educator in the New York City public school systems for and elsewhere over 35 years. So that's his short bio, but I'm going to get a little bit more information about him as we not only talk about Lloyd, but talk about these two men and how Lloyd inspired them, but how they got to meet Lloyd in their lives. So I'm going to go backwards before we get to Lloyd Richards in their lives to talk about them a little bit. So, Julius, I'm going to start with you since you are a veteran of this program and have been here several times on panels and everything, but in this particular time, you are not participating in a panel. You are participating. We are talking about something that you have been working on for over a year. So tell me, Julius, how it started for you, how your career started for you, and then lead up to how where we are right now.
Well, I started, you know, like in elementary school with a Mrs. Martin. And, you know, I was young and free and uninhibited, and I loved the arts. I loved singing. At the time, I was a boy soprano. Far from that now. I love performing. We did Oliver at PS 140 in Queens. And then I was in a group called Tapaw. That was a teenage performing arts workshop. And around that time, I, you know, went to La Mama. That was my first real professional experience, you know, going to a audition at La Mama, and that's where I met Hal DeWitt, and he was the director.
Do you remember the name of that production? Do you remember that?
Well, it was, I'm almost positive, Femi Sarahegi was the stage manager. And Sister Sadie, I think it was called. They were, you know, they were looking for, the character was supposed to be a young person. But Hal wanted the character to be really vulnerable, and I think that's one of my gifts. I can access my vulnerability, so. He had me kind of do what he wanted the people who ultimately got cast in that show to do. So he used me as an example for the other people who eventually did the role. So that was my first introduction. My mom had gone with me to that audition. I remember pushing that big black block that's on Astor Place. Me and my mom, we were pushing it, and you know, my mom was somebody who was there for me all the time. She was, you know, my mom was a gem for me, and the arts was my home.
So when did you do the sign in Sidney Bloomstein window?
Ooh, I think Jack, what we weren't quite sure about. Was that 76?
76 was Sidney Bloomstein, when Lloyd directed that encounter.
That was at 76. Now, here is the interesting part, because Jack contacted me, almost like around 3 years ago, and he got contacted me through my website, and he said, "Well, you know, we hadn't talked to each other in all that many years, but he said, you want to have a conversation?" I said, "Oh, of course." You know, we got along well during our time working on Sidney. In fact,
okay,
I would say.
Wait, let me stop you right now. So just to be clear, that's where you and Jack met each other, working on Sign in Sidney's window.
That's
okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to let you know something else that I discovered. Lloyd was like the quiet power behind many things. And I didn't realize it until later that I was at a school called Hillcrest High School in Queens, and in our theater careers, there was Stephen Posner was the principal, and in my theater careers class was Fran Drescher and a number of other people. But in that class, we had Lincoln Center Institute came to our class and did scenes. And the person who directed, I found out later, was Lloyd Richards from Lincoln Center, was at Lincoln Center Institute. And it was Robert Christian.
Bobby, okay.
Michelle Shea. And Dolores Gaskin. Those are the people that came and did scenes in our theater for us in the theater careers program there. So
I see.
It was interesting, sort of like, thank you God, I was blessed to experience having Lloyd silently be a guide for me without me ever really knowing it. So we did the sign in Sidney Bloomstein's window. And then I think then I did with Dick Gaffield, I did with Dick Gaffield, I did Blues for Mr. Charlie, as I think it was like the first time that it ended up off Broadway in the New York City area after it actually being done. Dick Gaffield had continually as I've gone through trying to get this help get the street named. I found that Lloyd would know other people who were blessed to have known Lloyd as well. So consistently.
Yes. We'll as this program goes on, we will find out how he would always his stitching of life, I call it. You know, I mean, it's so very interesting. He crossed a lot of different quadrants in life. Jack, so tell me how it started with you. You are from New York or no?
I'm a New Yorker. I was actually born near Asbury Park, but I moved when I was one to Brooklyn, and I went to public schools here. And, you know, I was one of those theater kids in high school and junior high school. You know, I always played the comic villain, you know, in Carousel and South Pacific, you know. And so I thought when I got to Hunter and I started taking acting classes, I knew all about acting. And then I got this teacher named Lloyd Richards. And wow, did I get my world turned around. But because this was a teacher, you did your scene. And the first thing he said after you did your scene was, what were you working for and how did it go?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, huh? What? I don't know. I was just, you know, I was saying the words and trying to act. And, he was the person that really taught that you work for something in a rehearsal and that you judge it. And how powerful those two sentences were, what were you working for and how did it go, allowed us as actors to take charge of our own acting, to move forward and to evaluate it, to give us independence, to approach acting in an unneurotic way, in a way that we knew whatever the role was going to be, we were going to take it piece by piece and work on it. And, you know, a lot of people talk about Lloyd Richards as a director, and he was, of course, an amazing director. I mean, you think about A Raisin in the Sun with Sidney Poitier, but every single person in that cast became famous. Diana Sands, Ivan Dixon, Claudia McNeil, Glenn Turman, Ruby Dee, Ossie Davis. I mean, you know, Douglas Turner Ward, even the people playing the moving men, right? He was an amazing director.
Mm-hmm.
But also an amazing educator.
The understudies became famous. I mean, you know, you had Bassett was in, you know, people who covered for roles. It was Castle.
Right.
Yeah, one of the things that I do remember is Lloyd caring about what you cared about when you worked in front of him. Say also in class, how did you feel? How did that feel for you? You know.
Exactly.
And it would make you cognizant of how were you comfortable? Were you in your skin? Were you in the skin of the character? Were you that, or were you forcing it? And where can you go with that? It made you realize that there were different quadrants that you could achieve as an artist. So that it really was what's the word that I want to say? It was effortless. It could become effortless. And when you felt that what you were working for, you got there because it wasn't acting at that point. You were there, you know. But it was wonderful. It was a wonderful lesson to watch him work with people who were actors when I first was in his class that wasn't an acting class, and people who were not, and how comfortable he would make them feel and how safe his space was.
Absolutely. And he really taught that theater is about the real communication that happens on stage. Mm-hmm. And the thing about him that was great in that class was you saw people getting better. You know, it wasn't just some theory that he was throwing out. People were getting better and improving.
Yes.
You saw it before your eyes.
If people worked at it, you could see the progression of their work. You could see some people started when they'd have to do the scene three times. And then pretty soon they would get a scene and it was only the one time that they had to do it because they'd worked on what it was that they were trying to achieve.
Right.
You saw
right.
that progression. And if you worked hard and you saw the progression
and
of people who did.
And of course, people know that he worked with Sidney Poitier, but what people don't often know is that Sidney Poitier was his student. Cicely Tyson was his student. Angela Bassett, Charles S. Dutton, Courtney Vance.
Yes.
We can go on and on with that.
At that time,
Ed Hunter, 45 years ago, I didn't really know who he was, and then I was lucky enough to get cast in the sign in Sidney Brustein's window, and the first day of rehearsal, I remember him talking about Lorraine, not Lorraine Hansberry or Miss Hansberry, Lorraine. this guy is important.
You know, what hits you in the face is that you are confronted, in front of you is a theatrical historian, but also a legend. Because by then, that play had become legendary. And the conversation that students would have would be about Miss Hansberry, Mr. Poitier, Miss Sand. But his recollection, as you all have posted many pictures of him as a younger man, was that they were all just friends working together.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like we all work together. And that, the possibility of knowing that working with your friends could possibly result in something that could change the course of theater history, to know that there's a possibility of that is unbelievable. And
he made a difference in so many people's lives that...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Out of the blue, I called Julius, you know, having not seen him, not talked with him. I didn't even know if he was alive, frankly, 45 years later. And I did find his website, as Julius said, and we got to talking. And, of course, what were we going to talk about but Lloyd and how he had impacted both our lives. And we made a pact that we were going to get some kind of public recognition of Lloyd, because he was not someone to toot his own horn. So maybe, Julius, you want to take it from there?
Yeah, so I had been looking at in the newspaper, and they were talking about the fact that they were going to name the produced Broadway theater producers were going to name a couple of theaters for black people. This was right after, around the time that George Floyd, and this was the interest was, you know, to reflect the times, which is what art should do. And this was a time that, you know, they were saying, oh, well, you know, some theaters should be named for some people of color, some black people, because they've contributed so much. And at the time, I said, wow, you know, there's no one better that is more deserving, in my opinion, than Lloyd Richards. Because... most people don't know, Lloyd was the head of the Eugene O'Neill Playwrights Conference for like 30 years. He was the ticket booth people. What's that group, Jack?
TDF, Theater Development
Fund.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He was the chairman of the board of directors for 5 years. He was on the board of the American Theater Wing. He was the first black director of black dean at Yale Drama School, and the artistic director there as well. So he was someone who affected so many different people, just black people.
Many different areas, Julius, that he covered. Look at all the different areas. I mean, we could talk about the acting areas, but then he was on board that TCG and still is an organization that outreaches with they have writers in there. It's an educational component. He was then in Yale, which is the educational component. He was a producer, director on Broadway, which is directly in there. Look at all the different kinds of people that he touches. Usually in this business, if you're a performer, you usually touch maybe one to two groups. He touched everybody.
Absolutely. He was quiet, but he was the working man. When you do the work and you run towards it and you do that hard work, and then God will meet you the other part of the way. That's the way I believe. And he absolutely was somebody who did the work.
When you talk about Eugene, the O'Neill, I mean, I was gifted by him as a student. When I was the year that I was to graduate, he brought me up to O'Neill, and that was my first working, paying job. As I was on the lighting staff, but also I did a play up there, a Yama play, and I still have the program and the script and everything about creating opportunities for people who he thought he could see the potential. And being around, watching Mary Alice and Michelle Shea and, Mr. Bill Cobb, watching these great actors, and they were very young then, as they were rehearsing, because I was up in the rafters doing the lights. So when I wasn't in my rehearsal, I could stand up there and I could stay up there and listen and look at that. The way that he gave people opportunities to be able
Lenny, I was at the O'Neill also, thanks to Lloyd, and the thing that really impressed me no end was the environment that he created, not just for the actors and not just for the playwrights, but also for all the tech people, and then he had the critics in, and at every meal, everybody, no matter who you were, sat and ate together communally. You could be sitting next to Susie Kurtz, or you could be sitting, I remember sitting under a tree talking with Edward Albee, and who was I?
But he made you feel like you were supposed to be in there doing that. And that really, that atmosphere, that era of the O'Neill is what I thought theater should always be. It should always, it wasn't touched by the outside source. It was like you were in the Irish community that would appear and then disappear. What is it?
Brigadoon. Like you think of Brigadoon.
Brigadoon. I'm thinking about Brigadoon.
Yes.
it made you feel like you were in a completely different place. And you were.
Yeah.
I mean, you were in a place of with pure creativity. That's what it was.
That
was possible.
It felt like for me was not, because I wasn't at the O'Neill. My experience was that just that production of Sign and Sidney Brustein's Window, but it was such a safe space to work.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take your time.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's see what's happening here. Oh, that's
uh-huh.
it. Okay. It was, you know, it wasn't a kind of aggressive kind of working with someone. It was a soft touch. It was a sensitive
yeah.
touch, because he wanted you to be free enough
yes.
to
able
to
create.
Do the work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was it ever in your experience, the two of you, did you ever see Lloyd raise his voice?
No. I didn't.
No.
I don't know about anybody else, but he never raised his voice. Well, in my experience of him, and you know what's interesting also is that, as we're talking about, you know, him directing and all of that, you know, there were James Earl Jones said that, you know, he was the rabbit everyone was chasing. You know, he was, James Earl Jones was Lloyd's understudy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On Broadway, starring on Broadway. So
the reason why I asked that question is that I have a hair trigger. And I remember working with Lloyd very early on when I was stage managing. And we had a young woman there who thought she was Anna Magnani in Rose. I laugh about it. I think that she probably matured into a fine actress. But at that point in time, you know, she just, you know, and she didn't hear a call or something and lashed out about not being given a call because, you know, she was the lead and she needed to know everything. And to her surprise, this young student who didn't have a lot of experience but was not used to anybody talking to me like I had a tail, I let her have it. I didn't care what kind of lead she was. And Lloyd very carefully, quietly, you know, that, you know, it made me aware that it is a stage manager's job to make sure that the actors are comfortable and safe, even if they're wrong, you know, and that that I had the ability to light up the room. He said, but you just light it up the wrong way. You got to light it up a different way, Lenny. You know. and I remember, I looked at him and I said, he said, oh, no, you light up the room, but not that, you don't want to light it up that way. You want to light it up when you walk in, everybody knows that you're there. He said, and that could be effortless. He said, this doesn't do you justice. I never forgot that. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't light up the room every once in a while because, you know, we are human. But mm-hmm. I think about his interpretation of what all of that means and where we are and what the different roles are in the theater. But because we have about 20 minutes left. See, I told you all this goes right. I need to now start talking to you all about the process and how is it going? What is going to happen? How did you all start this process for this so deserving, wonderful person. Jack, why don't you?
Well, I'll just pick up from where Julius left off. He was talking about that he had seen this article that theater owners were talking about renaming some of these theaters in the name of some African American artists. So we thought, well, this is perfect. Lloyd should get a theater. Well, who better? So we did start a campaign. We wrote to all the theater owners. We wrote to all the major theater organizations saying that we thought Lloyd would be the perfect example. And Julius used a lot of shoe power up and down Broadway, dropping off letters and resumes and all kinds of things. We didn't get the traction we wanted. So we said, well, let's try something else. And maybe, Julius, you want to talk about Chet and how you pulled him into this and the Facebook page?
Yeah, so what ended up happening is that Claudia Hayden was the person who initially set up the page, and we talked to Stephen McKinley.
Elaborate on that. Set up the page where and what the page
on Facebook. On a page on Facebook called Celebrating Lloyd Richards.
Mm-hmm.
That was the name of the page initially, and then we were thinking about, oh wow, was 6/29 was his birthday. Chet Y, who I had worked with
but also Julius, 6/29 was Lloyd Richards' birthday, but also the date that he passed away.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so
we said, we talked about getting a stamp for Lloyd. We talked about getting a street, and so then we started looking around for what the community board that it would be in. What community? And we said, it should be, on 47th Street because that was the street that Raisin in the Sun, Ethel Barrymore, was first done, and it was where a number of the plays that Lloyd had directed had also been at the Ethel Barrymore with August Wilson. So we kind of came to that conclusion. Chet came on board. He was the person that I had worked with. He was my boss at Harlem 4, and I was the director of arts and culture for that organization when they were doing Harlem for Obama during the presidential campaign. And he came on board, and he did digitalized all the letters, and we sent letters out to the council members and trying to get a feel for what was how we could get this done. And we said, if we could just get the street. So we were trying to get the street even, last year. But what ended up happening is we weren't able to get the street named last year, because the time that is supposed to happen didn't land in our favor. But Mark Levine, through his relationship with Chet Y. Jr. As I said before, Chet was a political strategist in many campaigns. And Denny Ferrell, Herman Ferrell, who's the biographer for Lloyd Richard's bio that's going to be coming out, hopefully in a, I'd say maybe in about a year. I don't have the timetable on that right in front of me, but I know he's been doing religious work around that. And between the two of their efforts and Sharon Cannon getting in contact with Keisha Sutton James, the deputy borough president, we were able to at least last year get the day he was born and the day he passed named Lloyd Richard's Day. So officially in Manhattan, the city of New York, we had finally had his recognition from the city that he had given so much to. And so 6.29 is now officially Lloyd Richard's Day in New York City. We've been kept on working, you know, we've kept on working.
Because I know the time is going, so I'm trying to get to the crux of where you are now so that when we continue this in the next part of this toward the end of the month, we pick up from where you are. So once you got the day designated for Lloyd, then you continued on with your pursuit of trying to get the street designated. Now, that meant a whole lot of political meetings and being able to have support and everything else. Where are you with that?
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah. Well, you know, we had always wanted to do the street naming, but the community board had not allowed a street naming in 14 years. There was a moratorium. So this was the political hurdle that we had to overcome. But fortunately, with Julius's constant showing up at meetings of Councilman Eric Botcher and Borough President Mark Levine, they finally understood how serious we were, and they became, I think, educated too about Lloyd's importance, and they put their weight behind this street naming, and that's what was needed. So the Councilman Botcher, he put it forward before the city council, as you have to do for a street naming. And just last December, at the very last day of the session, the New York City Council voted 46-0 to make 47th Street between Broadway and 8th Avenue Lloyd Richard's Way. And that will be celebrated June 29th when it will be uncovered. So that's where we are right now.
And
what is the exact street that will do? 47th Street
between West 47th Street between Broadway and 8th Avenue.
Okay.
And also, we had wonderful stakeholders who went to bat for Lloyd. The wonderful chairman of the American Theater Wing, Emilio Sosa, Charlotte St. Martin of the Broadway League, and the president of and CEO of the Schubert Organization were all stakeholders in the area who knew of the greatness of this man and signed on. I could go on and on because as it's almost hard to believe that he did as much as he did. He was in what would become the Tuskegee Airmen, Lloyd. Charles Dutton always said that Lloyd had two natural sons, but had many children, actors, directors, lighting designers, there are thousands of people that owe a debt of gratitude to Lloyd. And I just want to say I'm so thankful for everybody that has been on the Celebrating Lloyd Richard 6.29 team, and absolutely Chet Y is a big part of that, Michelle D. Winfield, who is someone who definitely also contributed a lot, and Mary McCabe, Frances McCabe, who was at the O'Neill and was an assistant to Lloyd. And as I was saying to you before, all through my career, my professional career, I've been blessed with people who knew Lloyd and made a way out of no way. I ended up working on Lloyd directed the Philip Hayes Dean Paul Robeson piece on Broadway, and I got to work with James Earl Jones when I did the Me Nobody Knows. He hosted it at the Ed Sullivan, and so many different people who I ended up finding out later were connected to the magic that is Lloyd Richards, because I have a feeling that Lloyd is smiling and saying, oh, okay.
You know, he's a very cool person. I think the thing about Lloyd, he said he just liked to work. He liked to work, and he loved the art, the artistry. And so that the progression of this whole event that gives him the recognition, I think, that he has always deserved, but was always the people that he coached, he directed, made the strides more publicly identified than he did. And I thank you both, so very much for making it possible that people now are understanding of what his time is. It's an amazing feel to be a part of certain kinds of history. And if you're lucky enough and you've been in the business long enough, you have several encounters where that can happen. And this is one that you see the progress. You talked about when Jack said you see the progress of the students in an acting class. You see the progress that you all have made. The whole point of what you all are doing and his recognition and how it comes to being in the spring will be absolutely a phenomenal celebration, I think, by a lot of people, because he touched thousands of lives, and he made work possible for so many, and he made life safe for many, many artists. So with that, do you you don't have the exact time and place of this to offer us now, but hopefully in the future, I think you will be able to talk about that a little more. Am I right? Or do you have some more information that I don't know anything about?
Julius?
When we first were going to do the Lloyd Richards Day, we had planned to do it in the 42nd Street, the plaza, and celebrate him there. But then the weather was a little different, and so the very day that we were supposed to be there, we moved it to the August Wilson Theater, we had a big celebration over there. So as of right now, I would say 47th Street and Broadway, where the TDF ticket booth area is where it's going to be at 12 o'clock. It's a Saturday. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say right now. But as we get closer, things may change a little bit. But mm-hmm. The fact that it's absolutely going to happen is definite. Ruben Santiago has done some television work on New York One with Cheryl Wills. I know Soledad O'Brien is definitely going to have her people there to talk about this giant of a man. I am so happy and so blessed to have encountered this gentleman, and I've been spoiled because.
Oh no, that's an understatement. Many people in this business. Come upon a person of that ilk, and there are a few, not a lot. You then become a person that knows the difference. And it doesn't take you but a minute and a half to realize the experience is going to be very different. But you're blessed with a wonderful experience. Now, I'm going to take these last couple of minutes to say that we have talked about Lloyd for this hour, but we will talk about him again on the 28th of February. This is a leap year, so February actually has 29 days. Did you know that? So we will talk about him again, and we will have additional guests with us. I don't want to say anything until it's absolutely certain that the additional guests can arrive, but we will have on the 28th a wonderful, I think, array of conversations. I hope you all both are going to be available to come back and participate in an extended conversation of some of the history of Lloyd, but also maybe in the weeks that are following, you'll have a little bit more crystallized information, so that people can put it on their calendars, and so the turnout of it will be as supportive as it deserves to be. So people will then understand it. And also the outflow of information on Lord. I mean, most people don't know. He was a producer of The Untouchables. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
When he was in, he left New York and went to L.A. and worked in Hollywood for a while. He was one of the producers. If you look at, you know, you look at the old, the channels that have the old shows on them, look at some of the credits. You'll see his name.
I think that was actually a different Lloyd Richards, because we did follow that up, and I think that was a different Lloyd Richards.
Really? Because I remember him talking about that. So,
did you? Okay.
Okay. Well,
yeah, his experience in California, talking about it. So I mean, I didn't pay any attention to it until it came up. So, I mean, and I was a fan of The Untouchables, Robert Stack and all of them.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't pay that much attention. You know, I didn't pay attention. But, you know, again, that's my memory, but it's a long time ago. But I remember him coming. Of course, we also know that they used his name in All About Eve, which I thought was fabulous.
Yeah.
That name Lloyd Richards in All About Eve. And, I think I don't know if there was a connection. I don't know if there was another Lloyd somewhere that, you know, they were doing it. But in my mind, I make it up that it was a tribute to Lloyd. So I do remember he talked about. He after Raising the Sun, he went out to Los Angeles and worked for a while. So he talked about that in class. You know, that I do know. But I'd have to go and talk to several of my classmates to see how accurate I am about all that. But I will say to you now that we're down to the last 2 minutes that I'm going to say to the audience, thank you very much for listening to us for an hour, go on and on about this wonderful person. And thank you for sharing your memories and acquainting us with you both. And we hope on the 28th to hear you all again, accompanied by some additional members of conversation. And we will continue to make this a celebration in this month where we are celebrating so many wonderful people, a wonderful celebration of this man who belongs to the world of theater and who belongs to education and producing and creativity. But as we hear, I've only got 90 seconds to go, but it has taken this long for it to happen, and I thank you both for it. So, audience,
thank you.
I will see you on the radio. We are going to go to the webinar after this. If you'd like to join us, please do. We'll talk for a few minutes. And then we will revisit this at the end of the month. Thank you again so much, everyone. Thank you, Jack. Thank you very much. And I'll see you webinar. Talk to you soon. Thank you for listening to Be Straight, No Chasing. Bye-bye now.
Everybody's got the fever. This is something we all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago. Never know how much I love you. You never know how much I care. When you put your arms around me, I get a feeling that's too hard to bear. You give me fever.